whoa, I am the worst person to be around right now. And I'm like aware of that. And I understand. And there was a part of me in my brain that was like, I actually totally understand if people don't want to be around me right now. And they're like, God, she is just a mood killer. That one, you know, she sucks the air out of the goddamn room right now. I get it. I think that's why it feels so significant that somebody would be able to look at my grief with me instead of turning away from me because it's too much for them to stomach, or they don't know what to say to me, or they're off put by my deeply sinister energy these days. Like,
dude, where are you? Pick up your phone. We're on a song party tonight, and you're obviously invited, so call me back.
Okay, love you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Emotionally Online. It's been a minute since I have sat down here with you guys, albeit unexpectedly. I transparently don't know how I'm going to get through this episode of the podcast. I haven't even said anything and I'm already crying. But I can't talk about anything else right now. So I'm going to get through this episode and we're going to talk about it. And then I'm going to try to figure out who I am after this episode is live and I am deep into this next chapter of my life. Sorry. I took the last 2 weeks off of being on the internet to grieve the loss of my Mango, my cat, Miss Mango the Gooey Girl, co-host of this show. God damn it. She's left me with all the work. Who the fuck's gonna edit the show? Mango died unexpectedly 2 weeks ago. And it's been horrible. It's been so bad. I don't know how else to put it. It's been truly a nightmare. It's been the worst thing ever. You know, I really thought that I would be able to keep it together for a lot of this episode. Oh my God, I'm learning that that's just not possible. Okay, great. Mango was the center of my life and a huge part of everything that I do in my personal life and online. I feel like she was a big part of the show. I think that's also why I'm getting really worked up right now, because usually when I sat down to do this podcast, she would come crawling up to me and up on my lap, you know, on my shoulder, on my chest, you know, pacing around me while I'm talking on top of me, unable to figure out exactly where she wanted to sit. Or like, I remember back when the podcast first started, there was a period of time where people would comment saying, asking who I was talking to, because I, you know, I look around when I do the show. I don't look directly into the lens all the time. And they're like, she's talking to someone off camera. Like, what is she looking at? And I always thought it was so funny because I was always looking at Mango. She was, you know, prancing around the room or sitting just off screen, sitting on her cat tree that is still right across from me right now. Doing this show reminds me of her. And that is a beautiful thing and also something that it feels really hard right now, because everything feels different without her here. And yeah, it's like, I feel like I've been severed in half and I barely know how to function if she's not next to me. So here I am. I'm going to try my best, but yeah, I feel like a chicken with its head cut off, really. I'm going to talk about what happened briefly, and then I'm going to talk about how I'm feeling and what's coming up for me and sort of my experience with grief so far, because I have a lot to say about that. And to be honest with you, talking about what happened and those, you know, 36 hours that's probably the hardest part for me. I don't really want to talk about it. I don't want to relive it. It's not fun to think about those 36 hours. I would rather talk about the beautiful 5 years that I had with her. But I'm going to talk about what happened so that nobody asks me about it ever again. So I've probably mentioned once or twice on the show in passing that Mango had a heart condition, and it was one that I knew about and we treated at home, and she responded really well to treatment. But heart conditions are fickle, and sometimes the treatment can just stop working unexpectedly. I knew that it was possible that Mango would not live as long as I wanted her to. I knew that. But you always hope for the best. And I never thought about death with Mango. And this is why I've always cried every single time I take her to the vet, and why vet visits have always been really emotional for me, because we've never really had a normal vet visit. There was always something. And so I knew that the odds of Mango living to see me into my 40s were probably slim. But I believed, but I think I really believed that because her heart condition had been so well managed, that there could be some miracle that could happen, and that, you know, that it just wouldn't happen to us, and that she would be here for a really long time. But obviously that's not what happened. Everything was normal until it wasn't. We had a beautiful couple of days together, just me at the house. I was filming, watching movies. We cuddled a lot, and, we went to bed the same as usual and cuddled all night. And then I woke up to the sound of her crying. And when I opened my eyes and looked at her, I realized that she had lost control of her back legs and she could no longer use them. So I immediately hopped out of bed and rushed her to the emergency vet. And from there, the conversations got really bleak really quickly. So I didn't have a lot of time to process what was happening and make my own peace with it. I just had to kind of take each moment as it was, from the moment that I rushed her to the emergency vet to the time that she passed was about 36 hours. So yeah, I did not expect that it was going to happen like this or happen so fast, but it did. And, basically, the treatment for her heart condition had stopped working. The last checkup that we had for it was in June, and in June, her heart looked beautiful. The treatment was working. Everything was fine. She looked okay. So sometime between June and now, things took a turn. There was nothing different about her. She was just as affectionate as ever. She was just as playful as ever. She was eating like normal, using the litter box like normal. Everything was normal until it wasn't. And that is hard for me to wrap my brain around. The staff at the emergency vet and the cardiologist were some of the kindest and most gentle people I've ever met. And thank God for that, because I was a mess. And they really helped lay out all the information for me so that I can make the best decisions for her. When I first dropped her off and the conversation started to get bleak, obviously I was like, well, we're going to do everything. We're going to do fucking everything. I will go tens of thousands of dollars into debt to keep this cat alive. For the love of God, do everything that you can to help her. Ashley, my best friend, flew out to come be with me on Wednesday night, and my friends in New York all rallied around me too, and I have more to say about them later on. But the vets and the cardiologist, they did such a wonderful job at being kind and gentle with me and really laying out what was happening what the prognosis was, what the best case scenario was, and it became evident within the first 24 hours that the best case scenario was not one that gave Mango the best quality of life. And so when I went back into the emergency vet on Thursday, we had to have a conversation where they basically explained to me what my options were. And they told me that I could take her home, but that she could die at any moment. And there was just no way of knowing if she was going to last hours or days, or maybe she could last a couple more weeks, but that we were at the end of her life. And I had to make an impossible decision, but I could not keep Mango here just so that I didn't have to hurt. I couldn't keep her here just because I couldn't say goodbye. I don't want Mango to suffer. I didn't want her to remember the end of her life as being one that was painful and scary. And I just didn't want her to suffer at all. So I made the decision to put her down. When the options you're presented with are basically like, your cat's gonna die. We don't know when, but it's here. And also, she's paralyzed now and in a lot of pain. You can take her home, but she'll die a sudden and probably scary death while being paralyzed. So, once I decided that it was time, they gave me as much time with her as I wanted. And so I sat and I held her in my arms and I told her about all the ways she had changed my life. I talked about all of my favorite memories with her. I sang her Lady Gaga songs. I'm sorry I'm crying so much. I can't do this and not cry. And I think in those final moments, I was so scared that she was sad, because I knew how much she loved me. And like, the idea of never the idea of never seeing her again, or her never seeing me again, that's like heavy. It's heavy for me, and I imagined that it was heavy for her too. Obviously, she's a cat, and I don't know how much she understood. But in my head, it was like, whatever I was feeling, I was also imagining her feeling that way, which was hard. But I held her, and I told her that she could give me all of her sadness, that I would take all of it, and that she had no reason to be sad or scared, and that we had a perfect 5 years together. 5 perfect, beautiful years that I wouldn't trade for anything, and I meant it. And, you know, it was a wonder that I was actually pretty together when all of this was happening. Obviously, I cried. But for, like, the final 2 hours that I had with her, just holding her and talking, I was pretty strong. And I think it's because I wanted her to feel comfortable, and I didn't want my reaction to stress her out and make her scared. So I'm glad that we got to spend those 2 hours together in a calm and just loving environment. as truly painful and like gut-wrenching that those memories are to me. Yeah. It was like, I wouldn't have wanted it to go any other way. I wanted to hold her, have her nestled right in my neck. I wanted to just hold her and have her resting on me and have that be the last thing that she remembers. So she was put down in my arms. And I wanted that for her. And also, it was so terrible, and it's not even the putting down part. It's the once it's done and then you have to pass off the lifeless body of the thing you love most in the whole world. I wish that I didn't have to do that. You know, I needed to, because that was my baby and I needed to hold her throughout all of that and make sure that she knew that she was so loved, so safe. And I know that she knew that because she loved me so much. But that's a memory that I wish I didn't have. And that's been hard over the last 2 weeks. Whoa, okay. Fuck, I'm like barely into this podcast episode and I already feel like my head's gonna fall off. Okay. So that is what happened. Mango had a heart condition. It unexpectedly got worse. Treatment stopped working and I had to make the decision very unexpectedly to put her down after her quality of life decreased literally overnight. And we knew that she did not have long left. So, Maddie, how are you doing? How am I doing? Right. Yeah. Bad. Yeah. Really, really bad. The worst ever, I think. For sure. Yeah. No, it's the worst thing ever. I don't know how else to put it. I feel like shit. I used to talk about this in college a lot, in a time where I was, you know, the one single friend, or, you know, I just felt like I was surrounded by people who were dating and in these long-term relationships, or people who maybe lived with their best friends in the entire world. And obviously, Ashley and I haven't lived in the same place since we were in high school, and neither have my sister and I. And so thinking back to college, when I used to talk about this, like being far from the two people I am closest to in my life and being single, I often looked at other people who had anchors, who had tethers, and I felt really like, damn, I wish that I had someone to tether myself to, you know, like on the weekends, it's like, what are we doing? You just like assume that you're doing things together, or like just the little things of having to plan your life around someone or with someone. And you see people when they're in these long-term relationships, that's what happened. When I look at, you know, my parents, nobody's like functioning completely independently. It's like, you're always looking to another person and being like, what are we going to do this weekend? Or I'm going to go do this. You have to let someone know that you're going to go do something. And as much as I love my independence, I also really longed to be tethered to someone, to have someone that I did life with. I value my independence. And also I loved the idea of sharing my life with people that I love. And really being tethered to them in that way. And obviously in college, I had friends that I saw often, but nobody that I was tethered to, nobody that I was anchored to. And I always looked around at other people who had that. And I was like, wow, that seems really beautiful and comforting. And, you know, I look forward to a time in my life where, you know, my best friends and I live in the same place again, or when I find someone in New York to tether myself to plant my feet with. I graduated college in 2019 and I adopted Mango in 2020. And it was like my whole life changed overnight. And for the first time, I had an anchor. I had a tether. There was something to build my life around, something to share every part of myself with. And that thing was Mango. And we moved into this apartment together in 2021. My first time living completely alone without any roommates. And over the last 4 years of living in this apartment, it turned into a home. And I look around, and every corner of this apartment reminds me of her. And during the first couple days without her, that made me really mad and I didn't want to be here. And then it was like I boomeranged to feeling the total opposite, and now I want to stay here forever. Now I'm like, do you think they'll just let me keep this unit till I die? Like, now I don't think I can ever leave. And I love that so much of this place reminds me of her. I love that I look around and it's like, yeah, the cat tree reminds me of her, and the toys and the scratches on the arms of my chairs, like those things remind me of her. The amount of cat hair that's just embedded in all the rugs, like, of course those things remind me of her, but it's more than that, actually. I look around at everything, you know, the fucking wall decor. Mango had nothing to do with that. You know, she didn't pick it out. She didn't help me hang it. But even that reminds me of her, because it's like I look around and I feel like everything that is around me is a product of the person I became through her love. And I'm just devastated. And I feel like I'm floating through space. And it's weird. It's weird not having this tiny, beautiful thing to look after, to wake up and immediately have things to do to, you know, throughout my day. She was always on top of me. It was like stage 5 clinger, that one. And I was to her too. We were 2 stage 5 clingers. You think that wouldn't work, but it really does. It really, really worked, actually. And whenever, you know, I'd be sitting working at my desk and she would usually be sitting right behind me on that corner of the couch, or she would come and want to perch on my shoulder, chest area. And that was that. But even if she wasn't there, I would then be the needy one. If she wasn't begging me for love, I was begging her for love. You know, if she wasn't there, I'd be like, where is she? Mango, where'd you go? Mango, get over here right now. What are we doing? And obviously she slept in bed with me every night. And so usually if I woke up in the middle of the night, the first thing that I would do is look to make sure that she was still in bed with me. And if she wasn't, I would wake myself up completely in the middle of the night, walk out to the living room and be like, where did you go? Why did you leave? And she'd come trotting back to the room with me. Like, I can't express to you, as needy as she was to me, I was just as needy to her. We were glued to each other. And she knows everything about me. It's like, it's weird to try to explain this to people. And like, when I first lost her, I was like, I don't need to talk to people who have like lost pets before. I need to talk to 20-something year old women who experienced living alone and doing life independently for the first time with this animal that became like an extension of their own brain, that then they lost that animal too soon. It's so hyper specific. I'm like, I need to talk to people who understand what this feeling is, because I I don't even know how to explain it to people, but it's like the version of yourself that you are when you're completely and totally alone. Nobody ever gets to see that, right? Because even when you're so comfortable with someone, whether it's a best friend or a partner or whoever, the version of you that you are when you are completely alone is different. No one will ever know this version of me, except for her. We did everything together. I have lived alone for 4 years, but I have had her with me for every single fucking second of those 4 years. She was my shadow. We had 5 years together, but I think that if you added up all the time, literally, if you added up all of the hours, the minutes, seconds that I spent with her, I think that in the 5 years that we had, I probably spent more time with her than most people will spend with their pets throughout their whole lives. And it's because I live alone, I work from home, and I'm here a lot. This is where I like to be. I like being in my house. I host. This is also the apartment that all my friends come to. Everyone comes here. We all hang out here. I'm working here 24/7. Like, the only times that she wasn't with me was when I traveled. I feel really lucky now to have been able to spend the last 5 years with her all the goddamn time. I worked from home the entire time that I had her. Obviously, I became self-employed after 1 year of having her. And so especially the last 4 years have been all about her, all about us. And I think I've been, one of the things that's been comforting to me over the last couple weeks is just like knowing that I was completely present with her, always. There was nothing that came above her to me. Nothing. I would stop everything I was doing to hold her, to hug her. And you know, the last YouTube video that I posted, the little matcha video that I did, when I had set up to start filming for that video, Mango would not leave me alone. This was like 3 days before she died that I filmed that video. She, you know, she's always clingy. But when I was about to start recording that video, she was like, no. No, actually, you're not going to record this video because you have to hold me. And she was crawling all over me. And I stopped everything I was doing. And I was like, you know what? And I don't know why I thought this, but in my head, I thought to myself, let's just stop and just hold her for a second, because someday I'm going to really wish that I did. And I sat there and just quietly held her and swayed back and forth to the music I was listening to for about 20 minutes until she decided that that was an appropriate amount of time and I was allowed to start filming my YouTube video. And that was really how our relationship always was. I would stop everything to make sure that she knew that she was number one on my priority list. Always. And, yeah, I feel just this feeling of being unanchored and untethered is so confusing to me. I built my life around her. And now I feel like the color has just been drained from every part of my life. My whole world feels more flat now. I'm like just trying to focus on breathing, drinking water, and feeling everything that I have to feel. But it's really hard because I feel, just so sad. It's hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel. I feel like I'm going to be sad for the rest of my life. I feel like I'll never be happy again. I feel like I discovered some kind of secret. I know how good it can really be because I had it so good. And now it just feels like, well, it's all downhill. And I understand that's, yeah, I understand that I'm not going to be optimistic right now. I'm not going to have anything happy or positive to say. And I hope that I have different things to say in due time. But right now, just everything feels bad. So I did join a grief support group. And I saw a psychiatrist and they prescribed me Lexapro. So guess what? Moves are being made. Is it the worst time of my whole life? Yes. Am I still forcing myself to take care of myself? Yes. So there's that. All I can offer you right now. This is all I've been able to accomplish in the last 2 weeks, okay? I have finished watching Vanderpump Rules, which is a different conversation for a different time. I have started taking Lexapro and I've joined a grief support group. Take it or leave it. That's all I can offer you. My grief feels immeasurable. It is extremely heavy and it's all that I can think about or see right now. And I am so, so lucky to have the support system I do, specifically the friends that I do. I knew how great my friends are. That's why I love them. But I have been like so floored by the compassion and kindness that my people have showed me over the last 2 weeks. I feel like I actually don't know how I would have gotten through that first week without them specifically. But even now, like I don't know how I would be functioning if I didn't have the best friends in the entire world. Ashley flew out to be with me the second that things started to get bad and she stayed with me through that whole weekend. August and Jordan, they also dropped everything to be with me. I wasn't alone for the first 7 days after it happened. People were staying here at the house. They were coming over every day. People brought me food, brought me flowers, notes. They made, you know, set up a whole little calendar for me so that I always had something to do. Like, and they would have done it for as long as I asked them to. I told them they could stop. And then I wanted to be alone for 2 days. And then I went to go visit my grandma. And now I'm back. I just got back from visiting my grandma yesterday. And I want to be alone today, but I have plans tomorrow. And then I've, you know, made plans for myself for the next week. My friends have been the best. The fucking best. And I feel really, really lucky to have them and to be so understood by them, to be so seen by them. I was worried that people weren't going to understand. But to even see my friends grieving with me, that moved me. And made me feel just like, wow. Wow, okay. I really love them, but they really love me too. And they really loved Mango. You know, like I am devastated and I'm grieving and obviously I'm gutted. But to see my friends also be sad, the people who, you know, watched Mango when I left town. Mango has never been alone a day in her life. Because I hated the idea of her being alone for more than a couple hours. So if I wasn't here, one of my friends was here, And to see the friends that spent the most amount of time with her also grieving and feeling that loss and crying with me, like, that was also a comfort to me, to really see that I was not alone and that I had a community of people that not only saw me in my grief, but also saw her and the love that we shared and how beautiful and just perfect that she was. And that was, yeah, that just meant a lot to me. So many people have stepped up and just been a really fantastic friend to me. I feel rich in friendship, truly. And I always feel that way, but I feel that way the most right now. Because holy shit. Yeah, I don't know how I would have gotten through the last 2 weeks without them. And I don't know how I'll get through the upcoming months without them, but I'm so glad I never have to know that. I'm so grateful. So fucking grateful. My friends are my lifeboats. And even looking beyond my, you know, my friends and family, but you guys, when I posted on Instagram that Mango had passed, I received like 3,000 DMs in a span of 24 hours. If you sent one, I saw it. Obviously, I did not respond to pretty much anybody. But if you sent it, I did read it. Even if you think I didn't, I did. I read everything. I was so moved seeing how many people were impacted by Mango and by the love Mango and I shared. It was incredible to me to see, you know, obviously I know this. I know how well documented my love of Mango has been. I made a whole video, you know, about the process of adopting her, and she's been in all of my videos for the last 5 years. She's in so much of the podcast. I couldn't shut up about how much I fucking loved that cat. I loved her. Love. Love, present tense, forever. I fucking love Mango. And it was really comforting to see how well documented, to really see how truly known that love was, to know that you saw it. It was a similar thing that I experienced with my friends. It was like, whoa, I'm not alone in understanding how significant Mango was, not only to me in, you know, my own life story, but also like as a joint unit, the love that the two of us shared that other people witnessed. And yeah, I your kindness and understanding of me has been so meaningful. The amount of people that messaged me and sent me, you know, links to grief support groups that helped them, links to podcasts and books that helped them process their own grief, reading other people's grief stories and how they grappled with, you know, those initial couple days and then those initial couple weeks and then the initial months and like how the feelings evolve and what to do with all of them. It meant so much to me to see how many people wanted to help me and wanted to see me in my grief, which to me feels like the most significant and moving thing that someone can do right now. It's like, I don't need anybody to try to fix this or make me feel better. I don't need someone to try to make me happy or to try to put the light at the end of the tunnel. Like when I say that I feel like I'll never be happy again and everything is just fucking bad and I am sad and angry and just it's the worst, I don't need someone to change that or fix it for me. I only need people who are able to look at it with me, that will look at me and my grief and not turn away from me or try to change me because it's uncomfortable for them or, you know, whatever. I worried that on Wednesday, before the day before Mango was put down, but when she was at the emergency vet, and I was texting Ashley, and she, you know, got on a fucking plane and came to me. But I was talking to my mom, and my mom was like, you cannot be alone right now. You need to call your friends. And so I texted August and Jordan, and I asked them to come over, and they came, and I was, you know, telling them everything and crying and whatever. And I said to them, I was like, I just need to say this part out loud, but I feel bad. I feel guilty. Like I don't want to be alone right now. I want people to be here. And I also feel guilty asking you to be here, because I understand that I'm probably the worst person to be around right now. And I have nothing fun to add to conversation. And I am just like an energy suck. And I know that. And I feel bad that I have to ask you to be around me when I'm like this. And obviously, since they are the best people in the whole goddamn fucking world, they're like, oh, shut the fuck up. You shut up. You're not the worst person in the world to be around. It is actually fine. This is what friends are for. And like, I'm grieving with you, and we will get through this together. And like, thank God I have friends that are so fucking nice. But it is also like, what I am talking about is just being like, whoa, I am the worst person to be around right now. And I'm like aware of that. And I understand. And there was a part of me in my brain that was like, I actually totally understand if people don't want to be around me right now. And they're like, God, she is just a mood killer, that one. You know, she sucks the air out of the goddamn room right now. I get it. I do. I understand why someone wouldn't want to be around me. And I think that's why it feels so significant that somebody would be able to look at my grief with me rather than just turning away because it makes them uncomfortable or they're off put by my deeply sinister energy these days. Like, I understand if you don't want to look at me if you can't stomach it. Or like, you know, people say the first thing, they'll send you the like, I'm so sorry for your loss. But then they actually don't know what to say to you outside of that. So then they just don't say anything to you. And I was afraid, not afraid, because I would understand if that was the case. But I felt like I had to preemptively tell people that it's like, it's okay if you don't want to do this. It's okay if you can't be around me. It's okay if this is like all too much for you. And of course, everyone was like, shut the fuck up. But it's been meaningful to me that other people are willing to look at my grief with me instead of turning away from me because it's too much for them to stomach, or they don't know what to say to me, or I'm just bad vibes. It has meant something to me that so many people in my life and people who see my life from a distance have sent me messages being like, and actually, you don't have to go through this alone, and you don't have to feel like you have to show up as anything other than how you are right now. And you don't have to like hide yourself and isolate because you're grieving and you think that it's like the worst thing ever and nobody wants to see it. Like, and obviously this is something I think about because of my job and what I do, and listen, we're going to figure it out together. But in my head right now, it feels like there is me before and there is me after. And it feels like there's this line, and now I have to try to figure out who I am without her. We'll see. We'll see. We're just going to keep taking things day by day. Hopefully that Lexapro starts to kick in soon. Because God damn, dude. Holy fuck. My brain is not a good place to be. I'll let you know that much. It is really bad. It's so bad up here. Fuck. It's not good. It's not good. What I will say, one of the like parts of grief that I didn't anticipate, at least not in the ways that it has popped up. And it's the anger that I feel about all the things I don't have to do anymore. The conveniences that I have been awarded upon her passing. The things that were taken off my to-do list. And how angry I am that my life could be, you know, logistically easier in any way when emotionally I feel like I have been, you know, stabbed in the heart and just destroyed. It made me angry. Obviously, I went up to Maine to go visit my grandma and spend some days with her, and I got mad that I could make that decision without second thought, that I didn't have to find a cat sitter, that I didn't have to write a, you know, a massive letter to whoever was staying to cat sit her, explaining all of the medications that she was on and when to give them and yada, yada, whatever, all of that. The fact that I could just without second thought be like, oh, I think I'm gonna go to Maine and see my grandma and be like, okay, that's it. Nothing else. And it made me angry. I was like, what the fuck? That actually, it makes me mad that anything could be easier. I would have given up everything to keep doing the things that I was doing before. The fact that I wake up in the morning and I don't have a list of things to do before I start taking care of myself, like, fuck that. I liked my job. I liked the things that I had to do to take care of her. I liked being her mom. I didn't want to give up those things. It makes me mad. I start to get fired up about it. I feel like I was robbed of something that I was really fucking good at, that I liked doing. I liked planning my life around her. I liked that my to-do list was long. I liked that nothing, you know, planning a vacation was never just like, oh, let's go fucking go, because I had to figure out all this stuff with her. I liked doing those things. And even like, I haven't moved the litter box or done anything about that. I'm pretty sure there's still stuff in it. Whatever. Literally don't care. We'll see when I get to that. That could be a couple more weeks. I don't know. We're going to let that sit there for now. But the litter box is in the corner by my front door. And because of where it is, I have a shoe rack next to it. And because of the placement of the litter box and where the shoe rack is because of that, my front door has never been able to open all the way because there's something blocking the door. And it makes me mad that when I eventually move the litter box out of the apartment, the door will be able to open all the way. Fuck that. I don't want that. I want to have a fucking door that's blocked. I don't want to be able to open it all the way. I haven't been able to sleep or shower with the door closed in 5 years because Mango couldn't be apart from me and I couldn't be apart from her. I've showered with the door open. Do you understand how cold that is? I have been taking pretty much cold showers for 5 years and now I can close the door and I'm like, why the fuck would I want to do that? That's so fucking stupid. It makes me mad that anything could be like that. I would get time back or that there'd be any kind of logistical convenience awarded to me upon her passing. It makes me furious because I didn't want it. And someone commented on the post that I made on Instagram about her passing, which actually this was kind of exciting. And I'm really, really, this was a pocket of joy in the midst of so much pain. But the painting that I posted on Instagram of Mango and I, somebody painted that in like 2021. And I remembered it when I was going through old photos and videos of Mango for this post. I remembered this painting existed. And what like a beautiful capture it is of this era of life that I got to share with Mango. And I was like, damn, well, what are the odds this person still has this painting if they kept it? and if they'll respond to my message. The account that it was posted on hadn't been active in a couple years. So I was like, this is kind of a long shot, but let me DM them and see if they have it. Because if they still do, I would love to buy it from them. And, first couple days, I didn't hear anything back. I was like, yeah, it was a long shot, but it was worth a shot. Cause I would love to have that painting if it exists. Lo and behold, a couple days later, they did end up responding to me. They do still have the painting and they just sent it over to me, which I am so excited about. That was like, oh, what a joy that is to have this painting of Mango and I that I can display in my home literally for forever. And it's like a gorgeous, gorgeous painting. Go check it out. It's on my Instagram. But that was a pocket of light, something good to happen over the last couple weeks. I am stoked that I'm going to have that. But what I was going to say was, in the comments of that post, somebody commented saying that they could see how linked mine and Mango's nervous systems were. And every time I talked about something passionately on the podcast, she would, you know, find her way onto my lap, onto my chest. And I couldn't agree more. My nervous system was linked to her. And yeah, this is primarily why I went and saw a psychiatrist so soon after, because I was like, I've already been talking about going on anti-anxiety medication. We talked about this on Patreon a couple months ago. But obviously this lit a fire under my ass, because I was like, well, the one thing that helped with my anxiety is now gone. What the fuck? What do we do? I don't know what we do. I have nothing. I have nothing to add. Everything is bad. I'm excited to have this painting, though, and to have something that captures this era of life so beautifully. Obviously, I got a tattoo for Mango 2 years ago. This one on my arm of a cutie little girl sitting in a martini glass with a cat pawing up the side. Obviously, the cat doesn't look like Mango and the girl doesn't look like me, but that was intentional. Because our love transcends our physical bodies. It transcends this life. It goes into every single life we've ever lived. It's not about what we look like in this life, because I know that I've spent every single one with her. And I meant it then when I got the tattoo, and I still mean it now. I'm getting another tattoo for her next week. So it's not going to stop there. But I wanted to memorialize this era of my life, getting to live in the best city in the world and realize a childhood dream alongside my soul cat. After I started being able to support myself creatively, people used to ask me all the time, like, what's next? What's the next thing for you? What's your next dream? And I was always like, dude, I don't fucking know. I'm like, I have a lot of dreams in that, you know, other creative pursuits that come from this realized dream. Like, all of my dreams are connected to this one. They're offshoots of this one, but this was the dream. So I don't know what comes next. And I think that's been the thing that, like, really kind of unplugs my brain. Like, I feel like I've been going through ups and high highs and low lows in the processing of all of this. Like, I will be guttural, like, zombie sobbing, and then it's like something unplugs in my brain, and then it's like, oh, and it's like I can barely hold on to a thought anymore. We've been going back and forth between those two things, but it's been happening a lot whenever I think about this specifically, which is like, the life I just lost was my dream life. There was nothing else that I wanted. But that's been happening a lot every time I think, like, what now? What next? I had everything I wanted. just me and Mango against the goddamn world. A childhood dream realized, just the two of us, me and her against the goddamn world. And now a chapter has been closed and I'm supposed to find a different dream. Like, I don't want a different dream. I liked my life and I don't want it. Everything feels different now. It's like, this is the life I shared with her. This is the chapter of my life that I shared with her. She is supposed to be here. She was a part of this dream, this vision. I don't recognize this life if I'm not with her. And then it just makes me feel like everything is about to change and I can't deal with that. But it's like, how can life stay the same? How can it look like this if she's not here? That also feels unnatural to me. Like, everything feels unnatural. This is why it unplugs. Like, there's like an unplug moment that happens in my brain where all of a sudden I'm like, and now I can't put a thought together. It's like parts of myself are being called into question now. Even I was talking to my friend Ellie the other day and I was like, am I still an introvert without Mango? Am I a true introvert, or was I just introverted because I wanted to be with her? You know, like, was I really all of these things? Was that me, or did I just love her so much that became who I was? I don't know. That's been weird to me too. Where I'm like, what? How much of me changes now that she's gone? How much of me stays the same now that she's gone? Am I completely the same, or am I completely different, or is it somewhere in between? I don't know. Nothing feels right. Like, I can't, I don't have answers. I know that how life is now and who I am now feels completely and utterly wrong because she's not attached at my hip. Every part of me feels, you know, like a mismatched Mr. Potato Head. It just all feels wrong. But the idea of being different and my life being different also feels wrong because it doesn't look similar to the version of life I shared with her. And why the fuck would I want anything else other than this? This was all I wanted. But it just, like, everything feels wrong. I all of it. Nothing feels good. I can't sink my teeth into anything. I'm just like floating through space. It's very confusing. It is very confusing, especially for me as someone who likes to have I like to have everything organized inside my head. I like to have very clear perspectives and reflections and like understandings about myself. And now I'm like, who fucking knows? Not me. I literally know nothing. And there have been so many signs from her. Well, before I get into that, let me just say, like, I feel her. I don't actually feel like I'm alone. Sometimes I'll have moments where I'm like, oh my God, there's no one here. But I do feel like she's here. I've even felt that, like, even when I was home visiting my grandma, I was like driving in the car and I felt like she was in the car. And I was like, I don't know why I feel like you're here. But it's like, she was like a part of me. She was like the voice of my subconscious. I don't know how to explain this, but that feeling that she gave me, I'll like get it from time to time. And I'm like, whoa. And it was really hard flying home yesterday. Cause usually, you know, the thing that makes flying home so exciting is her walking down the hallway to enter my apartment is pretty tough because I'm like I'll still feel like an surge of excitement. And then I have to be like, oh, okay, wait. Don't get excited. There's nothing on the other side of the door. The day before I put her down, when I had to take the Uber back home from the emergency vet, when she was staying at the emergency vet overnight, and I Ubered back to my house, and then my friends came over. The Uber driver that picked me up was so nice. I was crying and I had an empty cat carrier with me. So maybe he was putting two and two together. I get in the car and, you know, truthfully, I was hoping for a quiet ride. Truthfully, I was hoping for a no talking ride as I'm crying. But he wanted to talk and he's telling me, he was making me giggle a little bit, retelling the story. I've had a little laugh because he was talking to me like he was a psychic or like he like was really in tune. Maybe he was, but it was just like an unexpected vibe to get from your Uber driver, where the Uber driver was like, "Are you the only daughter in your family?" And I was like, "No." No, I am not the only daughter in my family. And he was like, "Okay, but are you the oldest daughter in your family?" And I was like, yeah, you got that one. You got it. And he was like, "You see, I could tell this because you have a very grounded and calming aura about you. I can tell this about you. You have a good energy, a good aura. You should preserve it at all costs. Do whatever you need to do to stay true to yourself during your life because you have something special. You have a good, calming, grounded presence to you." As I'm crying in his backseat, I was like, "Really? Tea." Tea, I have a calming, grounded presence as I'm hyperventilating in the backseat of the Uber. Read it and weep, America. Like, he just kept talking about the vibes that I was bringing. And I could not hold a conversation. So he was really doing most of the heavy lifting there. And then by the time we pull up to my apartment, he stops and he's like, "Have you had lunch today? Have you eaten something?" And I was like, "No, I haven't eaten anything." And he hands me a packet of cookies and was like, "Take these." And I was like, "That is so nice." And there was something about like being shown the kindness of a stranger at that moment that, it stuck with me. And I've been thinking about that a lot. And then, obviously, Mango knows I'm a huge Lady Gaga fan. That's all we listen to around this house. And that's what I sung to her in our final moments together. After she passed that evening, a bunch of my friends came over. We got Mango margaritas in honor of my girl. And we stopped at Bake Shop before coming home to my apartment. And right when we walked into Bake Shop, Lady Gaga was playing. And I was like, you know, I hear Lady Gaga places from time to time. But now it's like, it feels different. Now it felt like, oh, she put this on. Somebody put this on because she knew that I was walking in. She made sure my favorite song was playing. And then the next morning we went to a coffee shop and they're playing fucking John Wayne by Lady Gaga in the coffee shop. And I'm like, random. First of all, who the fuck's playing anything off Joanne? Second of all, John Wayne, that's my favorite song off Joanne. Why are they playing John Wayne? It was just so random. And I was like, what the hell? They're playing John Wayne. And I feel like over the last couple of weeks, I've just been hearing Lady Gaga everywhere. Like I walk into a store and they're playing Lady Gaga and I'm like, what the hell? Everywhere. And that's been comforting to me because I'm like, I really just feel like she's prepping. She's working her magic up there. She's like, "Maddie's coming. You better turn on her favorite song." That is how I felt. And then we went to Friends, my favorite little home decor store. And they sell warmies, which are stuffed animals that you can put in the microwave. They're like full of chamomile and lavender and all of that. So they smell good and they're nice and warm. The only one they had in the whole goddamn store was a calico cat. Like, are you kidding? Obviously, I bought it. I've been sleeping with it and taking it around with me and talking to it as if this is Mango, because some part of me feels like it is. There is some part of me that feels that she is inside of this little thing right now, but I actually feel like she's everywhere. Like, it's not just in the cat, right? Like, I feel a strong gust of wind and I'm like, oh, it's her. I've also been seeing bees everywhere. Like, and it's not just like seeing bees. It's like bees that won't leave me alone. Bees that just like come and surround me and are like addicted to my energy. Bees don't usually fuck with me like that. But lately bees have been fucking with me. And I'm like, is it her? Is she a bee? Dude, I think that she has the power to be pretty much anything that she wants to be. Okay, this one was funny. This one made me giggle. But the couple days after I put her down, I was really struggling with like having to make that decision. I do feel like I've sort of made my peace with it and found the things to cling on to and to remind myself of that help calm me down. But those first couple days afterwards, I was really struggling with like the weight of having to make that decision and like, yeah, just like wondering how she felt in her final moments and if she was scared, if she understood that death was coming. Anyways, we've come to the conclusion that cats don't really understand death the way that I do, which was an awesome call out from someone on Reddit where I'm like, oh my God, like I'm just picturing my cat understanding that she's dying, that she's being euthanized, and it's like tearing me up inside. I could not deal with that. Someone was like, your cat does not know what death is. I was like, hold on. They're like, your cat is not scared of death the way that you are. I was like, hold on. You're cooking with gas now. Okay. Here I was projecting all my fears onto this animal that has no idea what's going on. All that she knows is that she trusts me and that she's safe in my arms, and whatever is coming, she believes that is the right thing, or it's going to be okay because I'm her mom and her whole life is me, and that's that. I'm okay with that now. I've made peace with it, and yeah, maybe it'll come back up and I'll be stressed out again by it another day, but today I don't feel that way. And so we're sitting at this coffee shop outside talking about all of this. This is such a New York interaction. We're sitting at this coffee shop outside and some man comes up to us and he just looks at me and he goes, don't you ever say sorry. Never, ever say that you're sorry, and walks away. And we were like, hold on. Hold on. I was like, did Mango just possess him for a second? What the fuck was that? What happened? Did my dead cat possess this man and tell him to tell me that I should never be sorry? It was just funny because that's what we were talking about. And then this guy comes up. He's like, never say you're sorry. And I'm like, for real? Never, ever say that you're sorry. I was like, okay. I do believe that Mango is powerful enough to possess any and everything that she so desires. I believe that she's capable of everything. And then back to the Lady Gaga stuff. But me, August, and Ashley went to go to see a movie. And this was after I'd already been talking about how I was hearing Gaga everywhere. And we were already like clocking it every which way. And we get into this Uber. And the driver had like a homemade CD that he was listening to. And right when we get in the car, he starts like randomizing, like skipping through a bunch of tracks. And he ends on Rain on Me. And I just like look at August and I look at Ashley and I start crying and I'm like, oh my God. And I literally have not listened to any other musical artist other than Gaga since she passed. Obviously Gaga is what holds me together. Her music has guided me through every hard thing I've ever felt. So it's going to guide me through grief too. And I've been listening to Rain on Me a lot specifically because as depressed and dark as everything feels right now, I refuse to let death harden me. I refuse to let loss scare me from loving as hard as I humanly possibly can. I will be brave in honor of her. I'd rather be dry, but at least I'm alive. Rain on me. I would rather not feel this way. I would rather not be grieving, crying so hard that I feel like I'm going to throw up every organ inside my body. I would rather not know the depth of pain I feel without her. I would rather not know that. I would rather be dry, but at least I'm alive. But God, how fucking lucky am I to have loved something so deeply, to have loved another living thing so deeply, to have been permanently and forever changed by that love. How lucky am I to be so alive and so present in my emotions, in my feelings. I'd rather be dry, but at least I'm alive. Rain on me. Fucking bring it. Whatever pain that I'm feeling right now that is waiting for me along the horizon, bring it. Because if I had to do this whole thing over again, I would make the same choices. It's like, oh, why do we do this? Why do we adopt animals? Why do we bring pets into our lives, knowingly opting in to like the worst heartbreak of our entire lives? Why do we do that? I know exactly why we do that. I know exactly why I did it. I was changed by this cat. Changed. And I can't believe that she's not here. But if you took me back to day one when I adopted her and you told me that everything was going to play out the exact same way, I would still do all the same things. I wouldn't do a thing differently. I would take this pain every fucking day of the week over never having known her at all. I would rather be sat here with her in my arms right now. I would rather have that. But at least I have lived a life rich enough to know that I'm missing something in the first place. Can you imagine if I never knew? I just blissfully lived my life not understanding how fucking world-altering it is to love and be loved by an animal in that way. To have a soulmate-type connection with an animal like that. There will just never be another mango to me. I love her so much. And I'm so, so lucky. And life is cruel and unfair, and she deserved to be here for so much longer. But God, if I had to go back and do it all over again, I would do everything the same. Because now I know a secret. I know something. I felt it. I was there. And I will take this pain every day of the goddamn week because it meant that I got to love her. I would have done anything to have more time with her. But I will not let the pain of losing her stop me from loving as hard as I learned to love through her. I became this version of me with her. I will not let the loss of her implode the version of me that she helped build. I'd rather be dry, but at least I'm alive. Rain on me. I will allow myself to be changed by our love, by the life we lived together. And I will be changed by grief, whether I like it or not. But I will not let her death harden me. This is literally the worst feeling in the whole world. And we opt into it. Thank you for sitting with me, for sitting with my grief, for looking at it with me. Thank you for seeing Mango, for seeing our love, for remembering it with me. I just couldn't get back into doing the show without doing an episode like this first. So here I am. And that's where I'm at. And we're just going to take it one day at a time from here on out. I love you. Thank you. And I will see you in next week's episode.